Hi, I'm Reverend Norm Seelye. Welcome to a Jubilee Sunday Worship Podcast. What you are about to hear is this week's Sunday service edited to fit an all audio experience. There may still be a few longer pauses than ideal, but I've done my best to keep the scripture, sermon, and the best of our great music. After the sermon, there is typically a silence for prayer, and that moves into music. Thank you to Drew Winters for our theme music, and thank you to Dr. Daniel Rubinoff, our musical director at Jubilee United Church, and also the lead voices of Sharon Christmas LaFleur, Marie Crucioni, Dylan Hillier, and Mike Thomas. And thanks to all the volunteers who read and share their gifts in our services. Music in these services is covered by one license, A733652. You can support Jubilee United Church through the Canada Helps website, www.canadahelps.ca. Just search Jubilee United Church. And there's also a link on the Jubilee website. You can also access a full video of this service on our website, www.jubileeunited.ca, or even on my YouTube channel, Norm Seelye. And now, without further ado, welcome to worship. Ezekiel chapter 37, verses 1 through 14, with Dr. Daniel Rubinoff on saxophone, recorded 3 years ago.
The hand of the Lord came upon me, and he brought me out by the Spirit of the Lord, and he set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were many living in the valley, and they were very dry. He said to me, "Mortal, can these bones live?" I answered, "Lord, God, you know." And he said to me, "Prophesy to these bones and say to them, 'O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord God to these bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live.'" I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. So I prophesy as I had been commanded. And as I prophesied, suddenly there was a noise, a rattling. And the bones came together, bone to its bone. And I looked, and there were sinews on them, and flesh had come upon them, and skin had covered them, and there was no breath in them. Flesh came upon them, skin covered them, but there was no breath. There was no breath upon them. And then he said to me, "Prophesy to the breath. Prophesy, mortal, and say to the breath, 'Thus says the Lord God, come from the four winds, O breath, and breathe upon these slain that they may live. I prophesy as he commanded me, and breath came into them, and they lived, and they stood on their feet. They lived, they stood on their feet, a vast multitude. And the Lord said to me, "Mortal, these bones are the whole house of Israel. They say our bones are dried up. They say our hope is lost. We are cut off completely. Therefore prophesy and say to them, thus says the Lord God, I am going to open your graves and bring you up from your graves, oh my people. I will bring you back to the land of Israel. Bring you up from your graves, oh my people. And you will know that I am the Lord. When I open your graves, when I bring you back from your graves, oh my people." I will put my spirit within you, and you shall live. I will place you upon your own soil. And then you shall know that I, the Lord, you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and will act. Thus says the Lord.
Now a certain man was ill, Lazarus of Bethany, the village of Mary and her sister Martha. Mary was the one who anointed the Lord with perfume and wiped his feet with her hair. Her brother Lazarus was ill. So the sisters sent a message to Jesus, "Lord, he whom you love is ill." But when Jesus heard it, he said, "This illness does not lead to death. Rather, it is for God's glory, so that the Son of God may be glorified through it." Accordingly, though Jesus loved Martha and her sister and Lazarus, after having heard that Lazarus was ill, he stayed 2 days longer in the place where he was. Then after this, he said to the disciples, "Let us go to Judea again." The disciples said to him, "Rabbi, the Jews were just now trying to stone you, and you are going there again?" Jesus answered, "Are there not 12 hours of daylight? Those who walk during the day do not stumble because they see the light of this world, but those who walk at night stumble because the light is not in them." After saying this, he told them, "Our friend Lazarus has fallen asleep, but I am going to awaken him." The disciples said to him, "Lord, if he has fallen asleep, he will be all right." Jesus, however, had been speaking about his death, but they thought he was referring merely to sleep. Then Jesus told them plainly, "Lazarus is dead. For your sake I am glad I was not there, so that you may believe, but let us go to him." Thomas, who was called the twin, said to his fellow disciples, "Let us also go that we may die with him." When Jesus arrived, he found that Lazarus had already been in the tomb for 4 days. Now Bethany was near Jerusalem, some 2 miles away, and many of the Jews had come to Martha and Mary to console them about their brother. When Martha heard that Jesus was coming, she went and met him, while Mary stayed at home. Martha said to Jesus, "Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. But even now I know that God will give you whatever you ask of him." Jesus said to her, "Your brother will rise again." Martha said to him, "I know that he will rise again in the resurrection on the last day." Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. Those who believe in me, even though they die, will live. And everyone who lives and believes in me will never die. Do you believe this? She said to him, Yes, Lord, I believe that you are the Messiah, the Son of God, the one coming into the world. When she had said this, she went back and called her sister Mary and told her privately, The teacher is here and is calling for you. And when she heard it, she got up quickly and went to him. Now Jesus had not yet come to the village, but was still at the place where Martha had met him. The Jews who were with her in the house consoling her saw Mary get up quickly and go out. They followed her because they thought that she was going to the tomb to weep there. When Mary came where Jesus was and saw him, she knelt at his feet and said to him, Lord, if you had been here, my brother would not have died. When Jesus saw her weeping, and the Jews who came with her also weeping, he was greatly disturbed in spirit and deeply moved. He said, Where have you laid him? They said to him, Lord, come and see. Jesus began to weep. So the Jews said, See how he loved him. But some of them said, Could not he who opened the eyes of the blind man have kept this man from dying? Then Jesus, again greatly disturbed, came to the tomb. It was a cave, and a stone was lying against it. Jesus said, Take away the stone. Martha, the sister of the dead man, said to him, Lord, already there is a stench because he has been dead 4 days. Jesus said to her, Did I not tell you that if you believed, you would see the glory of God? So they took away the stone, and Jesus looked upward and said, Father, I thank you for having heard me. I knew that you always hear me, but I have said this for the sake of the crowd standing here, so that they may believe that you sent me. When he said this, he cried with a loud voice, Lazarus, come out! The dead man came out, his hands and feet bound with strips of cloth and his face wrapped in a cloth. Jesus said to them, Unbind him and let him go. Many of the Jews, therefore, who had come with Mary and had seen what Jesus did, believed in him.
There is no one there to dry your tears. I would hold you for a million years to make you feel my love. I know you haven't made your mind up yet, but I would never do. Go black and blue. Storms are raging on the rolling sea, and on the highway of regret, the winds of change are blowing wild and free. You ain't seen nothing like me yet. I could make you happy, make your dreams come true. There is nothing that I wouldn't do. Go to the ends of the earth for you, to make you. To make you feel my love.
So many faces. Wow. Let us pray. Loving God, may the words of my mouth and the meditations of all our hearts be acceptable in your eyes. And God, may I never lightly presume to preach your word. And may we never lightly presume to hear your word. For in your word is abundant life. Amen. Ezekiel the prophet. He was a prophet of the exile. That's a time when things were very bad for the people of Israel. They'd been cut off from their communities for years. Everything that was once familiar was now a vague memory. They had been through a very, very dark time. And it wasn't over. The future did not appear to be promising. They traded in bad news and conspiracy theories. Blame was tossed around easily. His fault, your fault, their fault, her fault. Even God was blamed for their plight. And as a people, they felt devalued and deflated, defeated. They felt dead. The Lord set me down in the middle of a valley. It was full of bones. He led me all around them. There were very many lying in the valley, and they were very dry. Can you see it? Can you hear the wind blowing through the valley? No trees for the wind to glide around to make the air sweet. No, none of that. It's a hot wind full of grit. Gets in your eyes and in your teeth and in your ears. And as you look around, you see only bones. Dry bones. Bones bleached by the sun, dried by the wind. And they're scattered about. They're cracked and they're broken. Can you feel it? Devalued. Deflated, defeated. Oh God, I can feel it. I really can. I want COVID to be over. I mean, really over. I want to buy fancy bread at the grocery store without having to go, well, instead for the stuff that's on sale. I'd love to take a road trip without having to worry about the price of gas before I leave. You know what? I don't want to get up every morning and wonder what's happening in Ukraine or what new scandal is threatening my world. Done with it. I don't want to hear all the gloom and the doom. I want an end to preventable poverty. I really do. I don't want to get older. I hate feeling increasingly irrelevant in a world. In a world that I was going to change, you know? I want to make a difference.
I don't want to play dead. In Ezekiel, God speaks. Prophesy to these bones and say to them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. Dry bones is not my fate. Dry bones is not our fate. Broken relationships can heal. None of us are meant to be irrelevant. We contribute. We matter. God says, I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. Oh, I want to believe those words. I will put my spirit within you and you shall live. I will cause breath to enter you and you shall live. Ezekiel looks around that valley of dry bones, broken bones all scattered around the valley floor. Can these bones live? And God tells Ezekiel, prophesy to these bones and tell them, O dry bones, hear the word of the Lord. Thus says the Lord to these dry bones, I will cause breath to enter you, and you shall live. I will lay sinews on you and will cause flesh to come upon you and cover you with skin and put breath in you, and you shall live. And you shall know that I am the Lord. This text may be ancient, but oh, I feel that these words are meant for us right now. In this time and this place, dry bones scattered all around. Oh my God, these words are for me. The word of the Lord gives life. Yeah, I want that. But what word is it? I mean, which passage? Where should I look in my Bible? Is it the Sermon on the Mount? Because I love that. Is it from the Last Supper? That's coming up. Is it Matthew, Mark, Luke, John? Is it in creation? Is it in the coming of spring? Maybe. Probably in all of those things. But I wonder if I'm ready. That song that Brianne just sang, it was so good. Make You Feel My Love. Pretty big hit for Adele. Billy Joel, too, actually. Garth Brooks, yeah. Michael Bublé sung it. I think that the original by Bob Dylan has always been my favorite. It's his song. He gets it. And then I heard Brianne sing it, and oh my goodness. It's funny how often I can hear a song and it always seems new. When the rain is blowing in your face, and the whole world is on your case, I could offer you a warm embrace to make you feel my love. Oh, not dry bones, but wind and rain. Not dead, maybe, but overwhelmed. Yeah, I get that. Battered, at odds with the world and everyone in it. I want to feel love. Is that what the dry bones is about? Is it about feeling love? The storms are raging on the rolling sea and on the highway of regret. The winds of change are blowing wild and free. You ain't seen nothing like me yet. Being loved. God's love. I know about storms. Bet you do too. I know about regrets. I have them.
What if this song is actually about God's love? The winds of change blowing wild and free. You ain't seen nothing like me yet. Yeah, it does sound like God. And I want that. I want God's love. Of course I do. I mean, who wouldn't, right? Jesus had a friend. We heard about him in the gospel. His name was Lazarus, and he had two sisters, Mary and Martha. And I don't know what kind of friend he was. I really don't. I don't know, the kind that has your back or the kind that gets you into trouble. I'm not sure. I find that the best ones are the ones that have your back as they get you into trouble. Good trouble, of course. And I don't know how they met Lazarus from Jesus. Maybe they went to school together. We don't have those stories. All I know is that they are friends. More than Facebook friends. These are deep friends. Because Jesus cries when confronted with Lazarus' death. Lazarus was dead. Kind of like my friend Marty, who's never given the room to grow really in her family, all boys. Never had the extra time with the teacher to figure out the numbers that rolled around in her head. So instead of becoming a maths prodigy, which she probably should have been, she learned how to fit into a size smaller than she wanted to wear. Fit into a relationship that looked right, but didn't feel right. Fit into a life that was someone's idea of a good life, but not hers. At night, she dreamed of being dead. I don't know if Jesus cried for Marty, but he did cry for Lazarus, because Lazarus was dead. He'd been in the tomb for 4 days, and there was no doubt about his demise because, well, because it smelled. Jack's life stank. I mean, it didn't used to, back when his wife was alive. They were so good together, Jack and Diane, just like that song that nobody really remembered anymore. And they raised two kids, and they traveled, and they wrote a book together. Yeah. They were in community theater together. And then they were in clinics and hospitals together as she got her treatments. Their love deepened through her illness, but it didn't stop the disease. And she was gone. And no matter what he had done in the past or how he had lived his life, he was now the man whose wife had died. He was the widower. He didn't know how to be Jack without Diane. His memories too often felt like burdens, and they sat heavy on his chest, and they made it hard to breathe. They reminded him of what he no longer had, whom he no longer was. And at night, he no longer dreamt. He slept like the dead. You know, I've looked around at some folks in my life, and I have seen dead people. Felicia, who's been told that she has maybe 5 years and there's nothing that can be done, and she's already living as if it's over. Rick, who is so angry with the world that he refuses to actually engage with it. Humans are terrible. Everyone's out to get you. So, you know, Rick works really hard, makes good money, and buys himself things that make him feel better. Actually, the truth is he buys himself things that make him feel numb. But he's good with numb. It beats what he was used to. And I am sure that Jesus weeps for these people. Because like Lazarus, they too are dead. Or at least living as if they're dead. And really, what's the difference? Their lives, like Lazarus' body, stink. They're rotten. I know that Jesus weeps for them. But it's Lazarus that he calls out. Lazarus, come out. It's Lazarus who... It's... Wait a minute. It's Lazarus. Why does he have to call Lazarus out? I mean, think about it. Why not just invite him? Surely Lazarus wants to be alive, right? Lazarus wants to come out. Why doesn't Jesus say, hey, Laz, buddy, it's okay. I fixed everything. Come on out. We're going to have a party. Why doesn't he say that? Instead, he orders him. Lazarus, come out. That's what it says in the text. In a loud voice, it says, he commands him, come out. A loud voice, like the kind of voice I used to use with my kids when I needed them to do something that they didn't want to do. Could it be that Lazarus didn't want to come out? Is that possible? Could it be that he's happy being dead? Or at least sort of settled into it? I mean, not exactly peace, but at least there's no more worrying about his job or his sisters, the Roman authorities, the occupation, the reform of his faith, all the stuff going on. No more effort required of him at all. Comfortably numb. Was that why he didn't want to come out? He was just done with it all? Whew. Can you relate to that? Could it simply be that Lazarus just didn't care anymore? You know how you'll watch something dumb on TV because you can't reach the clicker to change the channel, so I just leave it on. I mean, that's the reason that Netflix have to ask you if you're still watching. Because you might have fallen asleep, or you might be dead. Are we asleep? Or have we died? I do wonder sometimes. But here's what I know. Asleep or dead doesn't really matter. Because Jesus would not let Lazarus stay dead. Come out, he said. We're not meant to die before our time. We're not meant to live in a valley of dry bones. We are meant to love and to be loved. Not just to receive God's love, but to actually share it. Not just to feel love, but have our love felt. Yeah, and sometimes we need to be raised from the dead. Sometimes we've got to be called out, ordered out of the cave. The cave where it may be crappy, but at least it's familiar. The cave where it may be dark and rotten, but no effort is required. Are you asleep? Asks Netflix. Yeah. We need to be called out. We need to be called out of the lingering winter and into spring. You and me. And my friends, Marty, Jack, Felicia, and Rick. And you know that they're not real people, right? Except you also know that they are real people. Because we all know people who are in their caves, simulating death. Even while saying, oh, everything's fine. No, it's not. No, you're not. And we've done it too, haven't we? Everything's fine. No, it isn't. No, I'm not. How did we ever get out? Huh. It's interesting. The writer of the gospel makes it pretty clear that Lazarus has been wrapped up for death. So when he comes forth, when he comes out of the cave, how does he come forth? How does he get out of the cave? He's wrapped up in a cloth. And unlike the mummy movies of my childhood, they wouldn't wrap his legs separately. That makes no sense. He's in a cocoon. And yet somehow, he comes out. How? I have heard it suggested that he might have floated out. Yeah, he might have, but surely somebody would have mentioned that. Don't you think that'd be a detail to add to the story? You know, he floated out. I don't know. I don't know how he got out. Except that I suspect that he got out of the cave with God's help. Because he sure couldn't do it alone. I imagine that he had to hear the voice of Jesus calling him out, calling his dry bones to have flesh and come to life, calling his bound body to come out of isolation, out of the darkness, into the light, into community. And he had to respond. As impossible as it would be for his bound body to emerge, his effort to answer Jesus would be an invitation for God to help. And God's love arrives anew, bringing Lazarus to life. Are you ready for that? Being alive. And I don't ask that lightly. Are you ready for being alive? Will you emerge with spring? Because you see, being alive isn't just about feeling God's love. It's also about sharing God's love. If you're ready to emerge this spring, you know, to come to life, well, then the rain will be in your face. Because you know what? That's April. And the world will be on your case. Because if you're really going to come alive, then you love the world and you want to make it better. One smile, one neighbor at a time, absolutely. But then you never know where it's going to go, and then it just keeps growing, and you never know where sharing God's love is going to take you. But here's the thing. As you come to life, as you dare, you will feel God's embrace. Yeah. He'll have tears and you will have questions. He'll have doubts, you'll have worries, but you will also have God's love sustaining you. That song that Brianne just sang, you know, it's been recorded by more than 450 artists. Really? Yeah. Maybe because we need to hear it again and again and again, because we hear it and we forget, we hear it and we get distracted, we hear it and we get tired. We need to hear it again and again. As we lie in heaps of bones, as we stay deep inside our caves, these words call us to life. They call us out. It's God's love saying to us, I'd go black and I'd go blue. I go crawling down the avenue. There's nothing that I wouldn't do to make you feel my love. So how about it? Are you ready to be alive? Are you ready to feel God's love? Are you ready to share God's love? I really hope so. Because the truth is, the world needs you. Lazarus! Come out! Let us pray.
The Prayer of Jesus from the Message translation of Matthew's Gospel. Our Father in heaven, reveal who you are. Set the world right. Do what's best, as above, so below. Keep us alive with 3 square meals. Keep us forgiven with you and forgiving others. Keep us safe from ourselves and the devil. You're in charge. You can do anything you want. You're ablaze in beauty. Yes, yes, yes.
Go forth from this moment.
Can you believe it? I forgot to record a benediction. Actually, truth be told, I just wanted to come back and hide in my cave. I do that sometimes. Here I am. My cave. But I'm not staying here. I will come out. And as impossible as it may seem sometimes, I will follow the voice of Jesus. I'll do it because I know I'm not alone. So to you in your cave, whatever it looks like, come out. Unbind yourself, even just a little bit, and discover that the Creator loves you and will make you feel God's love. Discover that Jesus will walk with you even as he calls you forward. The Holy Spirit will absolutely fill you and make it possible for you to share God's love. You matter. You're relevant. Come out. Go out. Amen.